Peace and love, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that is working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I am your host, Josh. I just want to say welcome to the show. I am a trans woman. I use she, her pronouns. And I am out here in upstate New York. We just had a wonderful demonstration in Utica. There goes the homies. Just had a beautiful demonstration out this way and was able to hear from quite a few different speakers, some of whom, you know, hey, better than others. There was a lot of mentions of electoralism, which, you know, not super fond of, but we're gonna get into all that in a moment. I just wanted to say, you know, big shout out to the folks who were here, who showed up tonight in Utica, who were out and about and made sure to make their voices heard. But I just want to say something really quick, you know, to anybody in Utica or out this way or who is at the event. I don't know if any of y'all are going to hear it, but keep it going. Don't stop. Don't stop now. Don't stop ever. Because the moment we stop is the moment that genocide becomes more normalized. The moment that we stop, the moment that we cease struggling is the moment where the crimes committed by Israel and the United States and those who stand idly by in Europe and in the Arab empires and in Asia and in Africa and in Latin America, who do not stand up against this continued act of genocide, who do not stand up against occupation, who do not stand up against colonialism, we must understand that us, you and me, the people of Palestine, the people of the world, the people of the United States, so-called, the people of the globe, need to make the struggle for Palestinian resistance a struggle for humanity. In the same way that we've seen international efforts against South African apartheid, against fascism in the Spanish Civil War and in World War II, in the brigades sent by different communist parties, by different left groups, and in the way in which we've seen resistance groups such as Hezbollah and others stand up and speak out and say that if the United States or anyone takes a single step past this line, that you will no longer be fighting a one-sided war. You will no longer be fighting a one-front war, but that Iran and other resistance groups from Lebanon and throughout the world will be at your doorstep. This is the type of energy that we need to have. But we can't just say this shit. You can't just say we're gonna struggle to free Palestine. You can't just say end occupation now. You can't just say, you know, ceasefire. You have to recognize the totality of the situation at hand. You have to recognize that Israel, as it's called, the state of Israel, the military and political entity, the fascist administration and project of colonialism known as Israel, is a tool. It is one of the most militarized states in the entire world. And this is for a particular reason, a very lucrative reason, that will not stop simply because we have a convenient slogan or a catchy phrase. It won't stop because we post on social media. And it won't stop because we call for the United Nations to have a ceasefire. Fuck the Security Council. Fuck the United Nations. Fuck the United States. And fuck Israel. This is an act of war against humanity that Israel and all of its allies are committing, not only against the Palestinian people. We must understand that the Palestinian people are the front lines. They are the front lines, as well as the people from Afghanistan, as well as the people from Yemen and Nepal, as well as the people from Saudi Arabia and from all other places throughout the region that are oppressed, that are suffering, that are struggling. The Palestinian people represent humanity and their resistance to colonialism, their resistance to occupation must be made to represent all of humanity's struggle, all of humanity's resistance to oppression, once and for all. We must understand clearly that Israel will not stop, that the United States will not stop unless they are made to do so. These are countries which have become the largest powers in the world, the largest powers in their region, speaking of Israel, because of war, because of colonialism, and because of exploitation and oppression. This is not a side effect. This is not a choice made by one or the other political party. This is not an individual decision made by elected officials. This is a project by which these colonial empires, these colonial enterprises, have brought themselves onto the face of the earth. How did the United States find itself to become a nation? We have so-called Thanksgiving coming up. We just had Indigenous Peoples Day. What is U.S. history except for colonialism? What is the United States except for a settler colonial project? It is nothing. It is nothing. That is because that is at the core, the foundation of how the so-called United States, so-called Israel, and Europe have existed for 500 plus years. Europe has enslaved, tortured, brutalized, sexually assaulted. They have cut off body parts. They have maimed. They have decimated entire villages, entire people groups. They went to wipe 90% of the indigenous population of the Americas off of the face of the earth. So we must understand clearly when we go to these protests what it is that we are demanding and what it is that we are doing there. Demonstrations and protests must not be about feeling good. They must not be about a fantastic slogan or an eye-opening, you know, wonderful prose-like speech. They need to be about two things: education and organization. If you have 300 people in the streets, not a single one of them should be going home without being spoken to about what they are going to do next, what they can do next, who to meet with, who to talk with. Here's my contact information. This is where we're going to be. We cannot have a repeat of 2020 and all the other protest movements that have come before it. We know that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party took advantage of the sentiment in order to dull us back to sleep. We cannot let them do that again. And we cannot let them do that anymore. So today I'm going to have a little introductory episode to mention some of the things I'm going to go over in a longer episode, kind of the same thing I did with the last one. And that episode hopefully will be coming out in the next few days here. But what I'm going to try to do in this upcoming episode is I'm going to try to paint the interrelations and the material similarities between colonial powers, focusing on four. The first two will be Great Britain. The second will be its offspring and bastard, the United States. The third will be Nazi Germany, the period of rule of the NSDLP, the Nazi Party, as well as the build-up to the control of the Nazis. And then we are going to talk about the State of Israel. These are four colonial, exploitative, and oppressive nation states. And the reason why I want to tie between the four of them specifically is because the four of them have a much deeper interrelation than many of us, many of the media, many of the politicians, and especially the administration of these nations would be ever willing to admit, unless speaking frankly to one another. And so that's what we will base most of this discussion on, is the letters, the documents, the speeches, the conversations, and of course, the actions which these nations took in order to colonize and control entire regions or entire parts of the globe. Britain, we're not going to get into everything now, but I do want to just say a few things. One, Britain is the reason why Israel exists. The State of Israel and the Zionist project, the European and Russian Jews, which were immigrating to Palestine, were given that land, which was not theirs, whether it be the Zionists and the immigrants going there or Britain itself. It was not their land to give away. There was already people there. But what did Great Britain do? It saw, after World War I and coming on to World War II, that after its projects of colonialism in India, in China, in other places around the world, especially in places like Palestine, that nobody in their right mind would be willing to grant them oil rights or to provide them oil for the cheap, almost, you know, non-existent cost that Britain wanted its oil for, amidst other things, natural resources, labor, slaves, etc. So in the Balfour Declaration, and before, in the 1896 Congress on Zionism that was held in Switzerland, Israel, as a project, as a political tool, was developed for a very specific set of reasons. And one of the most crucial to pull out, that contextualizes the rest of the reasons, is the importance of having a satellite or a puppet, or whatever you want to call it, a nation state that is 100% beholden to a mother country that would act on the behalf of Britain and eventually all of Europe and the United States in order to secure control over land, oil rights, trade, labor, production. And so that is exactly what the State of Israel has done. And it was not Jewish people who created or called for the State of Israel. It was British imperialists and Zionists from around the world who wanted a land of their own, even if it meant throwing someone else out of their home. These are the same people who will use or had used different justifications for this in order to say, well, Jewish people have suffered throughout history. Don't they deserve a nation state of their own? What exactly makes it right for a people who have suffered for thousands of years to go ahead and to oppress and violate and brutalize another group of people who has been suffering for hundreds, if not thousands of years? How does that make sense? How does it make sense that since the Jews went through the Holocaust, they should be able to kill Muslims in Palestine? How does it make sense that since the Jews went through the Holocaust, they get to bomb hospitals? How does it make sense? Just because someone has suffered, just because a people group has suffered, no one has the right or the legitimacy to oppress another. But the oppressed have every right to resist oppression. What the Palestinian people are doing today is showing the world what a people on the brink of extinction must do to get a single inkling of support, to get a single newspaper or political party to come out in solidarity. And what are we doing? I'm going to speak frank with you, but I'm going to play with my words. Resources and tools come in various different forms and sizes and shapes and purposes. There are tools for every situation. There are financial tools. There are intellectual tools. There are mechanical tools. There are tools for what we might call violence or self-defense. There are legal tools. There are political tools. There are psychological tools. When we look at the context of the situation, since the founding of so-called Israel, the Palestinian people have endured massacre after bombing, after attack, after mosque threat, after harassment, after brutalization, after funeral, after death of a child, after the death of an elder, and another bombing of a hospital, and another bombing of a school. For 75 plus years. The fact is that the tools and resources that are needed are not being given. Medical aid, humanitarian support. But think about what happened during the Spanish Civil War. Think about what the Cubans did for Algeria. Think about what indigenous peoples who struggled for their liberation against European colonialism. Did they fundraise? Did they hold signs? They fought. They struggled. And so we must be clear. There is a need for resources in Palestine. Resources not for simple survival. On the brink of extinction, on the brink of death, every single day. But resources for liberation. We must see an end to the state of Israel and its occupation of the Palestinian people. We must see an end to the fascistic character and the activities taken by the IDF, by the IOF, by the Mossad, by others active in the administration, and others on the sidelines, the right-wing groups, the extremists that go out, the settlers, and shoot and kill children. There needs to be an international call for solidarity with Palestine that is not a social media post or a GoFundMe. We must understand that what Britain did to the world, what the United States did to the world, what the fascist parties and projects in Italy and in Germany and in Portugal and in Spain and elsewhere, what they did to the world, Israel is doing to the Palestinian people. And not just the Palestinian people. Let us recall that Israel is not just a tool for killing Palestinian people. It is a tool for political power on behalf of the European and American nations in the so-called Middle East. They are actively helping to fund, to normalize ties with, and to build relationships with other oppressive regimes. Because the objective of states like the United States, of nations like Europe, and of fallacies and colonial entities like Israel, is to control, dominate, and dictate for wealth and political power. That is all. The state of Israel does not care about Jewish people. Jewish people in Israel, Christian people in Israel, Muslims in Israel, aka all the people who've lived in Palestine for thousands of years and now have to call themselves or are forced to call themselves or choose to call themselves Israeli. Those same people and the people who were there before them were suffering. Before, it was under British colonialism. Now, it's under a capitalist and imperialist fascistic administration known as Israel. The only difference is the character who's playing the role of leader. The only difference are the characters. But the objectives, the material reality, the tactics, the strategies, what they are doing is the same. Israel is not a socialist state for Jewish people. Israel does not give a fuck about Jewish people. Israel is a secular state. It is a political tool that has open fascistic individuals, parties, projects, goals, legislation, ideas, laws. It's not just what's happening in Gaza today. It's not just what's happening in the West Bank. It's not just what's happening in the occupied territories. But it's what has happened throughout the entirety of Palestine. It's what has happened throughout all of West Asia. is what's happened in all of Africa, Latin America. It's what's happened here. It is about colonialism. It is about genocide. It is about extinction. And it is about exploitation. But the fact of the matter is simple. If you continue to oppress and enslave, exploit and make to suffer the people, not only of Palestine, but the masses of people anywhere for long enough, you will have resistance on your hands. You will have rebellion, and you might even have revolution. So if Israel sticks to its guns, if the United States sticks to its guns, we better take part, play our role, be an actor in our own destiny and in our own history and in the history of humanity to put an end to this occupation and all occupations. The reason why the media in the United States wants you to know nothing about what's going on is lying to you, has been lying to you for 75 years, is because as soon as you realize what is really happening in Palestine, you realize what has happened here to the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. You realize what's happened to the indigenous peoples of the Americas. You realize what's happened to the indigenous people of Africa and of Asia. And we use indigenous here as a specific term, because indigenous wasn't a term or a word that was needed. Native Americans, aboriginals, whatever terms that the European settlers came up with were not the names that people had given themselves and had been using for generations. They were names meant to describe a relationship. One need not be indigenous if there is no occupying power. A Mohawk person or a Haudenosaunee or Lakota does not need to call themselves indigenous, would never need to call themselves indigenous or native until there was a colonial power trying to wipe them from the face of the earth. So we now say to you listening here that the Palestinian people are the indigenous peoples of Palestine. They always have been and they always will be. We must understand that the objective of Israel is not to do anything but to eradicate human beings from the face of the earth, to steal the land and the resources underneath them. This is a capitalist and an imperialist objective. This does not benefit anybody except for the ruling class. This does not benefit anybody except for the wealthy. This does not benefit anybody except for the powerful military officials and the politicians. This doesn't benefit anybody except for Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and McKinley and Co. and all the other weapons manufacturers that are sending bombs, munitions, ammunition, guns every single day to Ukraine, to Israel, and to other colonial powers around the world, to other reactionary groups, to other fascistic groups, to other far-right groups. Why? For many reasons. And we will finish on these. Imperialism is not just militarism. And it is not just simple in-your-face colonialism. It is not linear. It does not progress straightforwardly. It does not focus on one or a few ways to exploit people. It looks for them all. The United States and Europe benefit from the existence of colonialism and imperialism because, first and foremost, it makes them powerful and it makes them wealthy. If you use all of your wealth to create a military, which then goes, occupies countries, bombs them to shit, steals resources, which then use to build up more military power, the formula is there. Especially when everyone else around the world is called a terrorist when they decide to defend themselves. But who's calling the IDF terrorists? Who's calling the United States military terrorists? Who's calling the real terrorists, the real murderers, the real extremists, the real massacres by their names? So first and foremost, they need colonialism and imperialism because it is exploitative. It creates wealth, creates domination, and it creates political power. The second reason, to acquire more. Because once you've established yourself, once you've created a power through colonialism or through imperialism or through capitalism or through exploitation, whatever word you want to use, as soon as the way in which you got the wealth that you have was from stealing it from somebody else, the only way you can get more is keep stealing it. And keep adding people to the list that you're stealing it from. So they create this military power to do what? To steal more resources. They then go on to use these resources for a couple of different things. One, to replenish their stock of weapons and of tools of mass destruction. To fill their pocketbooks and their stomachs. Gluttony and greed. The only people who really truly have that symptom are the only people who can be greedy. The only people who can be gluttonous. And it's the people with the resources and the power. Not you, not me, not human beings, but exploiters and murderers and oppressors. And the third reason is because in a nice little bow, what colonialism and imperialism do is not only erase people from history, murder them, jail them, lock them up, beat them, torment them, but it erases memories. It erases history itself. A stated goal by Ben-Gurion, the founder of the State of Israel, said that in a couple generations, speaking from 1948, in a couple generations, no one will remember. But we do remember. Generations upon generations upon generations of Palestinian people remember clearly. We have the pictures, we have the video, we have the letters, we have the articles, we have the evidence to say what it was before. Whose it was before. And so colonialism and imperialism are also psychological tools. They're also used to corrupt the mind and to corrupt the spirit by doing so. To erase the history of resistance in order to erase any possibility at new resistance. Because if everybody or nobody, if everybody who tried it died or nobody tried it at all, then you're crazy to think about trying it now. And these people in Palestine, well, they're crazy too. But when you recognize that all of the history of humanity has been written in struggle, has been written through revolution, has been written through war and through political coups and military juntas, and has been written through all kinds of extremely terrible ways. If you can recognize clearly that history has also been dominated by the so-called winners, aka colonial empires, if you can recognize clearly that history is written by the colonial empires, then why can you not recognize today the right of the Palestinian people to their own revolution by their own means? The last thing I will say, the last reason why Israel is very helpful to the United States and to Europe, is because along with Ukraine and along with other attempts at building up sentiment around the world for the freedom-loving countries, the democratic countries in Europe and North America, without them, the United States and Europe will finally see its way into the dustbin of history. If Israel fails, if Ukraine fails, so too does the project of settler colonialism known as the United States of America. This government, this ruling class, is running out of time and is certainly running out of friends. They are running low on munitions. They are running low on political support. They are running scared and blindly to the media, confusing themselves, telling different stories, counter or contradicting one another. They are terrified, but they are not yet willing to show it. And so they act like any terrified child or any scared animal would. The Zionists and the imperialists and the colonialists act like any terrified living creature would. And that is raging, acting out, killing. Because the Zionists and the colonialists and the imperialists know that their time on this earth and their time controlling us is falling slim. And is getting their grip on us and their control, it becomes less and less capable. It controls less of us. It holds on to less of us. It cannot be the sole narrative. It's not the sole ideology anymore. People are becoming conscious. People are becoming aware. And they're not willing to let it happen. But we have to understand that if we're not willing to let this happen, then we have to make it stop. We can't keep asking. We can't keep making demands. Unless we are willing to back them up, then we have to understand that there's only one way forward, and that is through struggle. And struggle is hard. Struggle is dangerous. Struggle might be deadly. But struggle is the only way forward, because death will come to the Palestinian people. Death has come to the Palestinian people, whether they have struggled with arms in their hand, at the negotiation table, in peace, or not. Death has come to the Palestinian people for 75 years and more. And so we must not allow death to come to anybody anymore without a fight. If death will come to any of us, if death or prison or suffering will come to me, let it be by fighting. And let it be without giving up, without ceasing for a moment. All power to the Palestinian people, once and for all. We say free, free Palestine from the river to the sea. This is not just in Gaza. This is not just in the West Bank. We must see an end to Israeli settler colonialism. And we must understand what that means. Rest in power to brother, revolutionary, comrade, and elder Rochelle McGee. and all those who have been lost as martyrs in the struggle for Palestinian liberation today, yesterday, and throughout all of history. Long live resistance, and long live revolution. All power to the people.